This is the Muscles and Management Podcast, where we build your body and your business. Talking all things training, sports performance, and business for athletes and aspiring coaches to enhance your training and better your career. Muscles and Management is brought to you by Challenger Strength with your host, Jerry DiFilippo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 88 of the Muscles and Management Podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. If you have not already, I would really appreciate it. Always kind of gives me a little more exposure and helps me out a bit. So if you are enjoying the show, I would ask that you do that. It's pretty helpful to me. So as always, thank you for that. And I hate to keep being annoying with that at the beginning of the show, but it seems to be a tradition at this point. So let's roll with it. Not too much to say today. This episode is going to be important. Is this going to be the first Meathead Monday that hasn't been a Q&A in probably like four or five episodes? And for good reason. Before I get into all of this, let me just go over a couple housekeeping notes in terms of scheduling. So this week, obviously today, Meathead Monday, episode 88. Wednesday, episode 89 is another solo episode with me talking about how I individualize program design. I basically had a phone conversation with a guy known as Brian Eisenberg. If you don't know him, he's someone that I've connected with on social media for the past couple of years. And Brian wanted to kind of get my opinion on how I go about, and not more my opinion, but like my process for individualizing programs for my athletes. He is putting together a program software for strength coaches to basically streamline the process of programming and all of that, which I'm going to be learning more about. And once I do, I would love to talk about it more. But we ended up having a conversation way back in the beginning of quarantine. So this was like March 19th, I think, as I look at the dates on my show schedule. And we were talking and he was like, why don't we both turn our mics on? I think this would be a fantastic episode to basically give your listeners a little bit of an insight on how you do this. And it's natural. It's a conversation with the two of us, but the fact that it is a conversation will make it flow a little better than maybe an individual episode might flow. And he's asking me questions and it was not rehearsed whatsoever. And it was really good. Pretty happy with how it turned out. So anyway, I wanted to make an episode out of it. So that is this week. And then just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a rundown on what we have coming up, we have obviously Meathead Mondays every Monday, but Kai Correa, episode 91, the following Wednesday, Adam Menner, episode 93, the Wednesday after that, into July, Matt Shadid from UMass, Director of Sports Performance, Carlton Salters, Julian stops by to talk nutrition. We have Lee Taft, we have Graham Eaton from Triton Sprints, Max Dudo, hitting instructor, Driveline, Lennon Richards from Baseball Development Group in Canada, who works with pitchers, Anthony Paroli, strength coach for the Buccaneers, Tyler Scutaro, one of the representatives and higher-ups of Pocket Radar. We have Ken Cronin from UMass, rugby strength coach, Seton Hall University strength coach Angelo Gingerelli. So we are just rolling through with some awesome guests for the next few months, and I'm excited about that. So without further ado, today's episode. All right. So as you already know, because you've seen the title, it's about VBT, velocity-based training, some of the uproar that was caused yesterday. And I say yesterday, I'm recording this on a Sunday. So Saturday, some uproar was caused by a tweet about velocity-based training being a gimmick. So the tweet came from someone I have a lot of respect for, but I'm still angry about this because I feel like, and it's from Donnie Thompson. Donnie is a guy who was a power lifter who does a lot of work with power lifting and things like that. And he made this comment about VBT basically being a gimmick and that he threw his tendon unit out years ago. And I didn't like the fact that it kind of got some traction because I think it was an unfair painting of what VBT is and how we use these things. And I think calling it a gimmick in an unfounded way with not a lot to say about it other than like I train power lifters and we never used it, like I have an audience of a lot of people who are into training of athletes and I train athletes myself. So I'm obviously going to have a much different opinion on it. I use it the right way and I'm very pissed because, if it's used the right way, I think it's really unfair to say what was said about it. If you don't like using something, that's totally on you. But if someone has a good reason for it, they have the right in which I'm doing right now to kind of lash out back at your opinion. I'm all for people being able to have opinions, but I do feel like we're entering slowly entering a zone where like we blindly applaud people that say things that are a little different or that cause some quote unquote controversy because we want to challenge people's thought processes and what they think about. That's fine, but let's just make sure people actually have a reason for what they're saying and they're not just spewing something out, because that's important. And I felt like that comment was very, didn't have a base for it. And I think that in the world of athletes, it's a dangerous comment to make, not even because I think we need velocity-based training tools to measure things and be effective. Like, it helps. I think you can be effective without it. Hell, I was for most of my career so far, up until I just started using them recently. But let's not put a bad reputation on something that is very effective and could have a lot of benefits for athletes and coaches, because we either A, don't like how someone we've seen used it or coaches have used it, or we just don't feel like it's going to benefit us personally, so we don't use it. So I think that's a big problem that I have. I was involved in a thread yesterday about this a little bit, and I think the biggest issue I have, like I said, is to call something a gimmick because you don't like it or because maybe you've seen some coaches utilize it the wrong way. That's not fair. That'd be like me saying, like, I really do try to specify this, the specifics of why I don't think ladders are good for building speed. Use them as a warm-up. Use them for extensive plyometrics, whatever it is. I'm not going to bash coaches or that tool completely if there is a use for it. What I do bash are the uses of it that are aimed at saying, oh, this builds your speed. I'm the footwork god. Come to me. It's better than whatever your other stuff, shit you're doing with whoever you're working with. That's my issue. And when we look at the actual definition of a gimmick, what it really says is it's a trick or device intended to attract attention, publicity, or business. I could not agree more that if there is a coach out there that is basically making the entire premise of why they're a good coach or why the facility is good or why you should be going there based on the fact that they have a certain technology, that's a problem. So that, I mean, herein lies more of what I'm saying. If the tweet was said to be, oh, people who use these things to say that they're the sole reason their programming is effective, or they use it as an ultimate guide to what they do, and they kind of sell out and throw everything else out the window in lieu of it, I have no problem with that. But that wasn't said. Like, let's zone in a little bit and tighten the lens up a little bit and specify what we're saying, and not just start dropping aerial assaults on stuff from way up. Like, let's get closer to the ground. Like, let's see what's going on and how other coaches are using it. Like, we have followings. We have a responsibility to lead people in the right way and to say things that are damaging without much behind them, I think, is a problem. And that's my biggest beef. Like, let's not blame technology for a way a certain coach or coaches might conduct themselves as business people in terms of saying that these things are the reason why they're having success and why you should go to them. And let's also not blame the technology for the way certain coaches utilize it, right? I don't, and this is a little bit of a Christian reference here, but I don't blame the apple for tempting Adam and Eve, or the snake, or the serpent, or whatever it is. I blame them for how they handled the situation. I get it. That's a story in the Bible that just is like a general explanation of like original sin and all that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to say like I think that's like an actual like thing that happened. If there are people out there that have a beef with that, I'm just using it as an example. But my thing is, like, let's not blame tech that can measure velocity-based training when we should blame coaches, if there are those out there. I know there are some that are using it as a ploy to attract athletes, or they're using it incorrectly and they're letting it kind of ruin other aspects of training, such as mechanics and things like that. Let's like target those people and maybe talk about the problem of how things are incorrectly used. Like, let's do that. Let's not just destroy a technology that has use and can be effective in measuring something, giving us objective data, because we don't like it or we've seen some people that don't use it the right way. It's irresponsible. We should be doing better than that. Like, every single time I say I don't like something, I try to explain as best I can why I don't like it, if there are ways you could use it that I would like, and how, you know, let's not just blanket just shit on all coaches that use that stuff. I'm not saying he was doing that, but to just make this broad generalization that we shouldn't use it, and to have some people actually applauding that, saying like, oh, it's great, he's giving his opinion, like not being comfortable and not just going along with what everyone else says, and quote unquote being a chameleon, and you know, you see something, so now you like it because you want to make everyone think they make everyone like you and be popular, whatever. That's a load of shit. Like, I get not just blindly following stuff, but if we're going to just not agree with something and not give much other than like, I don't like it, and I didn't use it with my powerlifters when there's a pretty wide audience of sports performance, people that work with athletes that are seeing it. That's an issue. You know, a little more on the definition too, right? Like we're saying, and this is a part that really struck me, is that it's a trick or a device, right? The entire point of this technology is to objectively give feedback on how fast a barbell is moving, right? I don't think there's much of a trick behind that. Like the coach can't just change the number, fudge it, or do whatever. Much like, and this is honestly, this is, I'm just being brutally honest here. We can look at an athlete and say, oh man, you look like you got a lot faster. And I don't really know if they did or not, but I want them to keep paying me and keep coming back and think that I'm good at what I do. So I'm going to bullshit the parents, even if I don't believe it, that they look faster. They look like they're stronger. They look bigger, whatever. It's literally a piece of equipment that tells you how fast something is moving. It's objective. There's no opinion about it, right? It's the exact opposite of a trick. You can't fluff it. You can't change the number, and you absolutely cannot lie about the feedback to yourself to give you a pat on the back. Like if you see something that you don't want to see, like, okay, maybe we have to make some changes, or I'm not as good as I thought I was. I get certain brands or versions of this tech might sometimes give improper readings, but like that's a matter of a technological error. I highly doubt the wires and things inside the hardware are like maniacally rubbing their hands together and scheming over the fact that they like tricked a parent or a coach or made a coach seem better than they are. Like that's just stupid. Let's not confuse occasional inaccuracies or poor technological performance on one of these things as a trick. And the last part on that too is like a lot of this tech is better now, so they are pretty effective, and this doesn't happen very often. On top of that, if we're using velocity-based training tools the right way, they're not really, like I said, they're not a device to trick us. Like, if we promote their use with technical proficiency, and this is my problem, like, you want to go out there and you want to say that it's a problem in the industry to keep saying it depends without context. It's also a problem to make really, really, really strong statements without much context or looking in depth at much. It's really easy to type out a 20-character tweet just destroying something without giving much thought behind it, right? I didn't like what you said. I wrote a 2,100-word article and I'm recording an episode on it, and I'm giving actual like specifics and areas to talk about and things to look at, right? So let's stop putting people on a pedestal, saying that, they said something that, they took a stance, right? They picked one side or the other. Like, let's do that, but let's actually explain why that's our stance. Let's not just take stances now, because now all of a sudden we're in a wave of like saying things depend on other things and explaining them isn't cool, right? So let's be careful about that. Coaches who use VBT tools and allow poor mechanics are bad coaches. They're not good coaches who were sucked in by, maybe they are sucked in by a VBT tool, but that's on the coach. That's not the tool. That's not the fault of the tech, and we shouldn't be using that as a way to disparage it. So let's continue to educate coaches on how they can maybe use this technology, and athletes on how they can use this technology, and parents on how they can use this technology to help them, versus just saying it's not bad and they might use it anyway and then we haven't gone anywhere. On top of that, we're objectively measuring what has been done for years, right? Dynamic effort barbell training. Dynamic effort barbell training has been done for a very long time. Trying to imply that it's like some new gimmick is pretty baseless and pretty irresponsible. Soviets, Louis Simmons, Joe DeFranco, they were using these things far before gym-aware or push technology entered the scene, before tendo units were readily accessible by the average coach. So we were emphasizing how fast the bar moved far before all this equipment came out. It was actually Joe DeFranco who gained inspiration from Louis and is a reason for the dynamic effort method being used by coaches like me and making it more popular with strength coaches. VBT and dynamic effort training, they didn't just simply materialize out of thin air. Like, we didn't just have a piece of technology that said how fast the bar moved and it just magically determined we were going to just start moving a bar fast because of the tool. There was a market for the tool and a reason for the tool because we had been using methods that relied on bar speed for a really long time. Making this assumption would pretty much be like assuming a vertical was invented to help measure. The vertical jump was utilized because we had force plates and jump mats and Vertex when they were actually invented to help us measure that thing that we found was important in athletic development. Like, We knew the vertical was a good explanation and a good demonstration of lower half power. We knew getting that vertical better was an important part of training, and the results we got in the vertical could give us an idea of whether our programming was effective or not. So we then made things to measure those. We used them, and it helped us get better at measuring them. Sprinting didn't just start because Brouwer developed a laser timer. They developed a laser timer because sprinting in its own right was a sport, and athletes and coaches wanted a way to test times to effectively measure and assess speed. My speed is improved. I'm probably doing a good job with what I'm doing. Did it plateau? Maybe I need to change something. Did it go down? Like, this is all things we can use. We can use VBT tools, vertical jump mats, laser timers for sprinting, even for ways beyond the improvement of performance. We can look at it as a way of testing readiness, and we've done this. Like, it goes beyond. Let's not be shallow with our thought process here. When something is deemed to be an effective modality to improve or analyze performance, it can't hurt to have tech that can help improve the quality of the feedback we're getting. Like, we test things, like I said, like the vertical, because they're good indication of lower half power. And having a good way to get measurements can help us assess an athlete, whether we want to, you know, sign them to a team or draft them. But it can also help us as strength coaches effectively program for them. I can have a good piece of machinery that tells me whether an athlete needs more strength work, more plyometric work, the loading in which we do plyometric work. Having a good piece of machinery to test this at your facility doesn't make you a gimmick coach or make it a gimmick. And having a piece of machinery to see how fast the barbell moves is the same thing. Like, if that has an impact on my vertical jump, how could it be a gimmick if I use it correctly? Just because you train power lifters and you don't care what their vertical jump is, and you don't have to see them go run a 40 or go on the field and put a lot of power into a small time or a very small zone, doesn't mean that it's not effective for us, right? You know, promoting your training based on the tech, I've said it, that is wrong. But seeing proper implementation of these things versus shallow boasting about it, we're seeing more proper implementation than we are seeing shallow boasting about it. So just to degrade it completely based on that is pretty ridiculous. And I do want to stress this, and I've said it again. We most definitely do not need VBT implements to be a good coach or effectively utilize dynamic effort barbell training. I utilized, you know, dynamic effort barbell training for a few years and got improvements in speed and verticals and things like that without this technology. Having it now, though, just makes it a little easier to determine loads and be a little more effective in it. So that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, I know coaches who don't use it. I've been a coach who hasn't used it. I've seen coaches who are successful without it, and I've been a coach who has been successful without it, but it still helps me if I want to use it. It could help them if they wanted to, but they can also get by without it. Like, let's understand that. This isn't a black or white thing. So with that said, let's take a step back, because I'd be remiss not to mention this. Like, what are some ways to ensure that we're using this equipment effectively, right? So making sure that we're not letting the tail wag the dog and letting the equipment steer us. So as I said, proper use of this equipment is far from a gimmick, right? When we're doing it the right way, it's not a gimmick. That doesn't mean that the wrong way of using it, or the coaches that have used it incorrectly, maybe they have gimmicks themselves. Doesn't mean to make the tool a gimmick, right? Results are enhanced by it and not directly a result of it, right? The technology can improve our utilization of certain modalities. So look at loaded jumps, right? I mentioned vertical jump mats before. You know, could we have an athlete jump and reach for a wall with some chalk on their fingers and then do a static jump test in the same way and get two scores that might help us determine jump loads for them? Absolutely. I would say that it's maybe a little easier to do with a jump mat. And if that's the case, why would it be a gimmick to use a jump mat for this process? It just means we have a tool to make the process more streamlined and make things more accurate, right? In addition to that, I'd be remiss. Like I said, a couple minutes ago, I need to mention what we need to look for in terms of proper implementation of VBT training and using measurement tools while doing it. We need to make sure we allow technical proficiency with lifts first, right? Let's not get an athlete in that's never picked up a bar before and just have them try to move it as fast as they can. They should be spending months upon months building good proficiency with the movement. Just like we wouldn't just give an athlete a bar and say, do a full clean, we would break it down and teach them. An athlete needs to show and demonstrate good technical proficiency, setting tension, getting in proper positions in their presets for the movement, getting through the entire range of motion with good stability and control before we utilize these things. Additionally, it's probably okay to develop a base of strength first before you use this stuff, right? At an earliest stage, the rising tide of strength is going to raise most of the ships of athletic development, such as speed and power. You know, get that first and fill that that bucket's really easy to fill. Fill it while building technical proficiency, and you then will get to a point where maybe you can move away into the dynamic effort training eventually. Once this is done, we can then use bar speed tools to enhance dynamic effort training that we might begin doing as a way to help us zero in on loads that might be more accurate than just basing them off a percentage, right? Like, I know this for a fact. I could look right now and I could pick a percentage of an athlete's number that I would think would be working like speed strength, let's say 2 years ago, and maybe they need 10 pounds over or 10 pounds less. And I've seen this happen a lot just because the tech helps me zero in on that. That's all it's doing for me. If we have something, and this is another big point too, if we have something that can prevent consistent and often max repetitions in a weight room that are poor in mechanics, and we can get athletes to stay within themselves with good mechanics and technical proficiency, move a load, get the speed, and make determinations based on that, it could be a good tool for us. Just don't replace poorly performed heavy lifts or heavy reps with poorly performed repetitions aimed at selling out for speed. And this, again, this isn't me just blindly looking at one side of things. Oh, I love VBT tools. I use them. This is telling me there are pitfalls of it, and we need to make sure we address these things to make sure they're used correctly. But like I said, this is important. We need to explain these things. We have a responsibility. There's going to be kids listening to this, parents listening to this, coaches listening to this. They need to take things from this and say, okay, this is how I utilize this correctly. I'm just not going to blindly follow this because Jerry said it and I like what Jerry says. I'm listening to Jerry tell me how you can use it effectively, and now I'm going to do that. It's more than just a small tweet that just means something, and now people might not use it when it maybe could have helped them. We can remind our athletes to look at bar speed as a product of good movement, right? I work with a lot of my athletes in a way where they actually can comment on their mechanics as a way of knowing when speed might be off. Like, oh, I didn't set my lats before my deadlift. My feet lost tension, my lower half lost tension on my bench. And then that rep must have been slower. I didn't feel good on that. Like, oh, I set myself really well there and had my body kind of locked in as one on my trap bar deadlift. So that speed definitely is better. Like, let me guess, my second rep was the best on that. I felt like I set myself the best. We've created a culture of that, right? I've seen it with my own two eyes and I've experienced it. It's been really helpful and it's been nice to see. They've been telling me when the dynamic lift might be slower because they didn't properly preset in positioning. We can use it as a tool to further instill proper technical proficiency in an athlete. Like, look at it that way. We can do it that way. And lastly, above all else, the whole I can see it with my eyes thing, it's a pretty big cop-out. Like, I'm not saying you still shouldn't have coaching feel when using these things, but I could tell you this personally, and I would assume if you've listened to this, you think I'm a good coach. My coaching ability has not really suffered one bit in the past year. I've gotten better as a coach, and I've utilized these things to make my programming better and to enhance things I was already doing. You can see things with your own eyes. Like, I did it this way for years, but I can maybe tell if someone is sprinting faster with my own eyes, but a laser would tell me for sure and let me test them to see if what I'm doing is effective, right? We have a responsibility as coaches to test our programming and measure the effectiveness of it. So to wrap things up here, I don't want to rant too long. I've been kind of just going for like 20 minutes straight, but the last thing that I want to finish up on, especially because the person who made Donnie, who said this tweet, he's a powerlifting guy, and there is a very big difference between training powerlifters and athletes. It's an apples to bowling balls comparison, right? This is by far the thing that annoyed me the most, and to be against velocity-based training for this is just ridiculous. We may use pieces of powerlifting training for developing athletes, and that we could have success with them, but they're a very small part of what we do. You know, you tell me I can develop strength without tech. Powerlifters did it for years. Well, I don't really care. Like, I don't care if their squat went up from 600 to 800. That's not my primary focus with an athlete. My primary focus might be I want to improve how fast they can move 300 pounds because that's going to transfer better to their vertical jump or to their sprint. So quite frankly, I don't give a flying shit. Excuse my language. It's like the fourth time I've dropped that word on the show, but whatever. Like, I don't care if what you did to get the 1,000-pound max squat. I care about it in terms of building strength, maybe, but when it comes to building speed in athletes, that's not going to be the judgment of my decisions, right? I'm not going to judge a piece of technology because you didn't use it to go from 800 pounds to 1,000 pounds when that's not something I even want an athlete to do anyway, right? You know, if these powerlifting principles were to stand alone and we were only to train athletes with them, we'd be leaving a lot of things empty and have a lot of holes in our programming for speed and power. And this is another thing, just because a powerlifter can build strength without VBT training tools does not mean they wouldn't be helpful for a team sport athlete, right? And that's not even to say, like, the guys at Westside Barbell were using dynamic effort lifting for years to build powerlifters. Like, I'd say it worked out pretty well for them. So you could even make the argument if you wanted to that maybe it could serve powerlifters well too. But even if you don't think it does, that's fine. You work with powerlifters, right? Do what you think helps them. Don't start saying tools that might help athletes aren't good if that's not your area, right? Like, don't bring opinions of things that work well with your specific niche to say that they're not good for other people. If how powerlifters trained swayed all my decisions, then I would be studying sprints from Brian Shaw instead of Usain Bolt. It's not a direct comparison, and it's pretty foolish to think so. So to kind of wrap things up here, saying you could develop maximal strength in powerlifters without bar speed tools or maybe even dynamic effort lifting, that's great. But like I said, again, it's athletes are different. Like, there's more areas we need to focus on. Strength is just a sliver of the process of getting them better, faster, making them move better, right? The nervous system's involved. I've seen so many coaches, and I've personally used dynamic effort lifting effectively to get athletes to utilize more force in a shorter amount of time and to use velocity-based training tools to make that process of doing that even more effective, right? We're well thought out. We're using these tools to make our programming even better, to test how effective our programming is, to be hard on ourselves to see if we're doing things the right way, right? You can get away without using it, but never call objective data that is gathered and implemented responsibly a gimmick because you don't see the need for it, right? Coaches may not use it correctly. Let's educate them and teach them the way they want to use it effectively. If you don't think powerlifters need it, that's fine. But right, I'm here telling you that I think athletes could benefit from it. You don't have to use it to be effective at training athletes, but you most definitely can use it to effectively train athletes. So that is my rant on that for today. I also released an article on this thing yesterday, so last night, so check that out. It's the written form of this if you want to see it in on a piece of paper, on a page, on your screen, whatever it is. As always, thank you guys for enjoying me. That's what happens when I talk for 25 minutes straight. Thank you for joining me as always. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I think it was nice to get away from the Q&A style so it's not overdone and doesn't become boring. We're still going to be doing them. I'll probably do one again next week, but this is a nice change of pace. Something that made me very, you know, that fired me up and got me pretty passionate. And I wanted to talk about it both in an article and verbal form on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have feedback, you have questions, comments, thoughts on this, let's keep pushing the conversation. Shoot them over to me on DM, tweet them at me. Let's keep talking about this. Let me know what you guys thought about this and how I did with it. And as always, I will talk to you guys next time. Thank you for listening. Peace. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Muscles and Management Podcast brought to you by Challenger Strength. I'm your host, Jared DeFilippo, signing off on the show that's changing the way we view training, sports performance, and business.